Blog Talk Radio.
I was having challenges with my old bank. Lots of red flags. Yellow ones too. Fees, penalties,
unnecessary fees.
Playing dirty. So I broke up with bad banking and moved on with SoFi Checking and Savings. Now I get up to 2.0% APY on all my money and pay no account fees. Feels good to get my money right.
Bankers disqualified.
Break up with bad banking. Get 2.00% interest and earn up to $300 when you set up direct deposit. SoFi, get your money right.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Genesia, the commissioner of WBNN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the Text Now app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
I'ma leave the
WBNN Communications on air from Lagos, Nigeria. Call in at 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Welcome. This is Eating on a Spiritual Level, and I am your host, Chef Yosef. Thank you for joining us tonight. We have a great session planned for you tonight, great broadcast planned for you tonight. And tonight I wanted to get a little more personal and talk with someone that has had a really challenging experience. And she's changed her life around, and she's now started her own company advocating for better health amongst our community. And I want to talk to you about her journey. And I figured this is a good time to get a little a personal outlook at someone who has gone through something and, you know, decided to change their life around, other than talking to just an expert in a certain field and, you know, in veganism or in vegan activism, as we have been hitting on quite lately. But this time I want to talk to a very good friend of mine. Her name is Natasha Pennant, and I'm just going to give you a little brief description of her background. Natasha Pennant is an owner of the Health Conscious Diva LLC, and it's a wealth and health and wellness corporation that helps people become their own health advocate when navigating through the healthcare system. She's also the founder of Purple Soul Kitchen, cooking classes for individuals who want to learn more about cooking plant-based foods, and Let's Go Plant-Based, a membership community for those wanting access to meal plans, recipes, education, and much more. Natasha is a single mother turned entrepreneur, certified health and wellness coach, published author, motivational speaker, and plant-based food advocate. Most importantly, she is a heart disease transplant survivor. Natasha also is a Go Red for Women ambassador with the American Heart Association for Central New Jersey. Natasha has the pleasure of hosting her own health and wellness event called Hyped, Helping Your People Excel Deeply. It's an acronym. In health, community event where people come to learn more about different health practices, participate in workouts, and shop from local vendors and for healthy products. And at the current time, Natasha is in school to obtain her bachelor's in science degree with an emphasis on dietetics, pursuing her status as a registered dietitian. This is a very busy woman, and I'm proud to say that I know her, and I've seen her go through her journey of getting a heart transplant, and she came back fighting as if she never got out of the ring. So I'm very happy to have her on as a guest to Eating on a Spiritual Level with Chef Yosef. Natasha, welcome and good evening.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. You have a story that needs to be told. So I'm really privileged to say I know you, and also very happy to know that you've come through your journey with such tenacity. And it just says that there's hope for people that may have gone through the same situation or maybe going through something similar, that they don't have to give up. So, you know, just knowing that you've come through this and you've changed your life around, you've become an advocate to help people get better knowledge of how to eat better. And, you know, you're not only preaching the message, but you're living the message. So I'm happy to say that I know you about, you know, with that fight. So tell us what you're doing now. Tell us about yourself a little bit. You know, I just gave a brief synopsis, but tell us about, you know, if you want to start with just talking about your journey and talk about, you know, what led you to this point and where you are right now. What are you doing?
Okay, no problem. I can just start from the beginning. Everything started when I was pregnant with my son in the year 2000. I found out that I had a condition called postpartum cardiomyopathy. And basically what that is a weakening of the left ventricle of the heart. And it makes it so that, you know, you go into congestive heart failure, fluid backs up, you can't, you know, breathe, you don't have energy. So from that point on, because I had always been active from a younger age, I danced, I played softball. So I wanted to make sure that I could try to reverse it. And I was trying to do everything that I could. In 2004, I learned about Dr. Sabi. But looking at the recipes and everything that he had, I just didn't have it within me to take that path at that time. So I exercised a lot. I went against a lot of the doctors' advice of to stay still and not drink a lot of water. I did what I wanted to do, basically, which I don't advocate for everybody, but I'm just a tenacious person, so I wanted to make sure that I could do what I needed to do. But in the year 2012, I had an incident where the defibrillator that I had went off on me at the airport, and when I came home, I was too scared to move. I was too scared to do anything, so I decided that I would change how I ate, and I would eat more vegetables during the time that I was too scared to move. And then it started to snowball into a habit. I had smoothies every morning, and at the time I wasn't fully plant-based. I just increased the plants that I was eating. So I was having like an omelet with vegetables in it. And then I would have for lunch, I would have something like a salad or a sandwich with a side salad. And my dinner was just a normal dinner. I never changed up anything for dinner. So it would be something like rice, vegetables, and a protein. And then as I moved on, I was like, you know what? I remembered I was in Jamaica with my sister in 2010. And every morning we ate some form of a vegetable. And that's my heritage. My family is from Jamaica. So I was like, you know what? Let me try just going back to my family roots and putting all of the vegetables at every single meal. And at that point, I realized that it took down a lot. My blood pressure went down. I was able to have a little bit more energy, and I was able to exercise more. So I was like, let me just stick with this, and it'll be good. So in 2014, I decided to put myself into the Institute of Integrative Nutrition, learned pretty much how to get my plate together for each and every meal. And at that point, I actually lost some more weight, and I realized what I had been doing all along for the first, you know, 14 years of being with heart disease was everything was wrong. Everything I was told to do was wrong. I needed to make sure that I had everything in place, all my food items that I needed to have, which were the vegetables, especially the fruits. I got into a habit of growing my own food, something that I learned from my grandmother from a very young age, but I just never did it for, you know, my adulthood until I got really serious about my health. Started to grow my own food, making sure that I had everything together. So in 2016, I took a stress test and ultrasound of the heart. And I found out at that point in time that I had actually reversed my heart condition. And that was just like a major, it was exciting, but it was a major triumph that I had, because who do you hear of that actually reverses their heart disease so often? When you're listening straight to your doctors and everybody, they're not going to tell you that you can do that. So the fact that I did it just put me into a whole nother place. And I'm like, you know what? I've already started the Health Conscious Diva. Let me go ahead and make this even a lot more better. But the backsliding part was that in 2018, I had swallowed water the wrong way, and it went down in my trachea instead of through my esophagus, and that fluid was stuck in my lungs. And so no doctor would listen to me. They would tell me that I was in congestive heart failure. And I'm like, it can't be. I've already reversed my heart condition. So no doctor listened. No doctor. I was going into the emergency room probably three or four times in 2018. And so 2019 happened, and I was given more medication for heart issues. They told me that I would need to get my gallbladder removed. They tried to remove it. Unfortunately, my blood pressure bottomed out the first time. From January through May, I was up and down, up and down. I hosted my Hyped in Health event, and unfortunately, I couldn't even recuperate from that for maybe 2 weeks. So I knew something was really wrong, but I just didn't know what it was because the doctors in the emergency rooms were not, you know, testing me for everything. So I had went on a cruise, came back home. Everything was kind of sort of good. And then around June 1st, 2nd of 2019, I just couldn't keep my food down. Couldn't keep my food down. And I couldn't understand what was going wrong. So I went to the emergency room 3 weeks after that started, and I was stuck in the hospital. You might remember that I, you know, asked you for some food. during that time period, I found out that I was in sepsis and that all of my organs were actually failing at that point. The good thing was I got back on track thanks to the people at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital in Philadelphia. And the only thing wrong was my heart didn't come back too. So that's the reason why I had to get the heart transplant. During this time, I've had a plant-based cardiologist who came to see me. Her name was Dr. Danielle Bilardo. And she brought me a whole bunch of stuff.
Plant-based cardiologist, that actually exists?
It actually exists. There's a hospital in Texas where the doctors and the cardiologists there gives people their vegetables through IV.
What?
Yes, I've done my research.
Wow.
I wanted to go there so bad, but it was too late.
Wow.
So she came and she brought me some food. I had my Vitamix with me, so I was having smoothies every single day. Across the street from the hospital was a vendor who was selling fruit, so I made sure to have my fruit sent to me. And then my boy Hakeem from Black and Nobel Bookstore was sending me some sea moss drinks. Unfortunately, I still had to get the transplant. So the good thing about it was being that I stayed to a plant-based way of living and eating, my recovery was actually very good after the transplant. I did need to have a little bit more protein to help me to heal faster, so I did have to have some fish and chicken. But once I got to a point where I was okay, I'm like, you know what? I got to reverse this again. I got to get back out of the, you know, that stage and go back into plant-based eating because it really helped me a lot during my journey. And so today I'm at a point where I'm getting back on track and I'm helping other people to make sure that they also have a plant-based way of eating, especially people who have chronic illnesses, because a lot of the chronic illnesses are causing inflammation and pain, which, you know, a plant-based diet can actually eliminate that pain. So, I'm just glad that I can be in this space where I can actually do that and just, you know, tell people about what it was that I went through so that they don't have to go through something like that themselves. And so that's the other part of being a health advocate, letting people know that they need to speak up for themselves, because as much as I spoke up, they did not listen. And I knew that it was not my heart because I could walk 5 miles with no issues. But at the same token, I was having this issue that nobody understood what was going on.
Wow. All from water that went down the wrong way. This is really something. Well, you're just getting started. You're just getting started on the show, but apparently you got somebody's attention because we got a caller in queue already. So we're going to go to the first caller. Caller number one, state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Good evening. This is Genesis Amaris Kemp, and I'm calling from Texas.
Hi. How are you, Genesis?
I'm doing well. So I did have a couple of questions and some things that piqued my interest, but I'm just going to keep it brief. So I'm loving the content so far, and I also like the fact that you are Caribbean descent. My mother is West Indian. She's from St. Vincent and the Grenadines. So my question for you is, what was the hardest thing whenever you transitioned to a plant-based diet? Because being of Caribbean descent, we already know, like, we're supposed to eat clean and different fruits and vegetables, and, you know, they grow the stuff naturally, but then we just get caught up in, you know, the Western way of living. So how hard was it for you to change your lifestyle and just kind of shake off some of those old habits?
I got to say that I did it gradually, so it wasn't in anything that really was really, really hard. But what is difficult, really difficult, is cheese. The way that cheese is made, actually, like a very condensed version of milk, right? So you have everything that's in milk like 10 times, 20 times. And so that makes it hard to relieve yourself of something that is very addictive like that. And so it has a really good taste, and it's in almost everything in Western diet. But what I did was, as a Caribbean person, I just reverted back to the way that I know that my family eats. My grandmother doesn't really eat a lot of cheese. And my father, he actually had a time where he ate like a Rastafarian, because he was one. And so I just put myself in that position. And, you know, any video that I watched, I made sure that it wasn't a food item that had cheese, and I would make it for myself and my son. And that was the main thing. Meat wasn't too hard to get rid of, because after a while I was just tired of it anyway. Fish, I don't like fish all the time, so it didn't really bother me. So the main one was cheese, and that's because of its addictive properties.
Okay, awesome, and thank you so much for sharing that, because, yeah, it is hard to, like, get rid of cheese, and I know the cheese there in the Caribbean tastes different. Like, the New Zealand cheese tastes different than, like, the Kraft, the Velveeta, and et cetera here, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's because it's not real food. That stuff is one molecule away from plastic.
Yeah, and then there was another question, but Chef Yusuf, can you just kind of, whenever y'all get a chance, you may see my questions on Facebook, because I have noise in the background. I have a young one, so.
No, I understand. Well, go ahead and ask your next question now, because I'm actually not on Facebook, but where I can see it. But since we got the floor open for you, go ahead and ask it now. It seems pretty quiet. Must have put the baby down.
Okay, awesome. So my other question for you and your guest, let me make Natasha. Yes, I want to address her correctly. Is whenever it hold on, honey. Whenever you, what do you think about intermittent fasting? Because I know some people start with that and then they ease into like other lifestyle choices. Because versus thinking about a diet, in my opinion, I think you should think about it as a lifestyle choice, because it makes it more realistic and you're going to stick with it versus like a diet that could fade in and out.
Okay, Natasha, you want to tackle that? Because I got some points on that, but you go ahead and tackle it, and then I'll piggyback off of whatever you say.
Okay. I believe wholeheartedly in intermittent fasting because of the way in which our bodies are made. And so, you know, for myself, that is what I do. I normally don't have anything to eat in the morning until around 10 a.m., 11 a.m. Start out with water and or lemon tea in the morning. And then by the time 10 o'clock rolls around, I'll have my smoothie and break my fast with that. I'll have like my larger meal like around, say, 2 p.m., and that'll be like lunchtime. And then I'll have a smaller meal in the evening, like a salad with, you know, some protein, some beans or whatever, for my last meal, which is normally around 5:30 in the evening. I might have some water before going to bed, and then that's pretty much it. It is a really good way in which to boost your metabolism. It allows you to allow your body to rest before you go to sleep. So let's say my last meal is at, say, 6 p.m. It gives me 4 hours. My bedtime is 10 o'clock. So it gives me 4 hours to have my food digest before laying down, and then the fast begins. And then through the night, I'm fine. In the morning, sometimes if I'm hungry, I'll just have a piece of fruit, but I won't make it anything, like, big. But it definitely helps to boost your metabolism and to allow your body to break down the fat and the food as it.
That's perfect. I would have said the same thing. You just gave the G-rated version. Now I got to give them the dirty version.
All right.
And I totally agree with everything you just said. But Genesis, one of the things that we have totally been indoctrinated with is the European way of eating and the American way of eating, and that is not sustainable for us as a community. And when I say as a community, I'm speaking more in reference to melanated individuals. And this is not a racial thing, but our genetics are built differently. So when the American system of our diet or way of eating tells you, oh, you need to have 3 square meals a day, have, you know, your eggs and your bacon and, you know, let them tell it. They give you a whole big smorgasbord for breakfast. It looks like, you know, eggs, bacon, potatoes, toast, fruit, orange juice, and milk. I mean, who's going to digest all that? By the time you get to 12 o'clock before lunch, you're tired. So that is definitely not something that's sustainable for us. Number two, you know, you go into eating a lunch. You know, I've seen it where people go into work and they're eating, they're having their coffee and their bagel or whatever, and that's like 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning. Before they even finish that, they're talking about what we going to order for lunch. And lunch is like 12 o'clock, just like 3 hours. You haven't even gotten rid of what you had for your first meal. And my whole notion is I'm a firm believer that you really shouldn't eat again until you've eliminated the last thing you've eaten. You should have as many bowel movements as you are eating meals. So for us, for some people that have difficulty with that, may have suffered with constipation, or and which is really inflammation in the intestines, they are not able to eliminate on a regular basis, so they should really eat less. And like Natasha said, it's good in the morning to just start off with some liquids, like some water, some tea. If you're really hungry, maybe have a piece of fruit. Fruit is a good jump start if you are hungry, where it's going to give you the fiber, it's going to give you the hydration, and it's going to give you the proper sugar, which is glucose, for your energy levels. Now, then you should eat your heaviest meal when the sun is at its highest point in the day, which is somewhere between 12 noon and 2 p.m. And then if you want to have another meal, let that be a very light salad, or, you know, maybe you have to have some kind of bread or something. Let it be something really light and not starchy, because you don't want to rest on that. So because your body is going to go through an assimilation period, then an elimination period. You want to give your body a break, because all these people going around telling, oh, you should eat like 5 or 6 small meals a day. That's a lot, because you're never giving your body a break. Your organs are always hard at work. And after a while, you know, anything, if you overwork something, after a while, it's going to just fizzle out. It's just like you keep running an engine and you never change its oil. Eventually the engine is going to seize. And that's exactly what you're doing to your organs. You never give your organs a break. If you're feeding them 5-6 times a day or 3 large meals per day, you know, our stomachs are only as big as our fist. So if you imagine the plates that they give you at most, if you live in Jersey, you go to a diner, it's as big as a football. So, you know, you imagine putting all that food in your little small fist-sized stomach. You're never going to be able to eliminate all that in one session. So it's very wise to do intermittent fasting. As a matter of fact, you should only be eating for like about an 8-hour period throughout the day. That's probably the best, like between the hours of maybe 11 to 7 or 10 to 6. I probably would venture to say 10 to 6 more, because like Natasha said, you have at least 4 hours before, you know, the average person goes to bed. Maybe around 9 or 10 o'clock, you know, a night out like me, 11 or 12 or 1. But you know, that's just my take on it. But yes, intermittent fasting is a very healthy practice.
Thank you so much, Chef Yusuf and Natasha. Those were really great points to consider, and I'm definitely going to take that into consideration. Because I did try intermittent fasting for a while, but since I'm post-baby, I'm going on 6 months now, I have to be mindful of, like, certain things I do, since you have to eat a lot of calories in order to produce the breast milk and et cetera.
That's totally understandable.
I was actually going to say, it's not necessarily that you have to eat a lot of calories to produce breast milk. It's more so that you need to drink a lot of liquid and eat a lot of nutrient-dense foods. So you can still do that with intermittent fasting.
Without being, like, super, super hungry, because it's like I'm hungry all the time, whether I'm, like, pumping or nursing.
Well, as long as the food itself actually has the proper nutrients for you, then you're pretty much fine.
Okay.
If you go to somewhere we're Caribbean, so if you go to somewhere like there, they don't eat food on those hourly times. They eat when they're hungry, and they eat foods that are more dense. Like, I know things like, say, cassava or yams, whether they be white yam, yellow yam, purple yam, whatever it is. They'll eat those, and that produces a lot of what is needed in the nutrient realm. So as long as you have your heavier food, like Joseph said, in the middle part of the daytime, you're pretty much good, even if you are breastfeeding.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm definitely going to take that into consideration, probably have my mom make me some good old Caribbean dishes. But I just wanted to call in and show some support for y'all. I've been off the air for a while. But I'll be back.
Why don't you tell them when your show is?
So I'm coming back on air in February. I'm not sure the exact date right now, but GEMS will resume after my long maternity leave.
Well, congratulations on your newborn, and I wish you the best with all that, and look forward to your show coming back on in February. Sis? Oh, man, I think we lost her. Okay, Natasha?
Mm-hmm.
We got another caller. Caller two, state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, Chef, and hello to Natasha. This is Tiana Speaks. How are you guys doing tonight?
Tiana, how are you? Thank you for calling.
I'm good. Yeah, I'm loving the show. It's right up my alley because the person that I love the most in this world, you know, had congestive heart failure. And it was difficult, you know, very, very difficult to the point where, and I said this on my first show, where I literally meant it when I said, I asked the doctors, could they take a healthy piece of my heart, you know, because I didn't, you know, this is a person who's been there for me for 20 plus years, you know, that's given me the greatest love ever. So their heart is what keeps them alive, you know, along with the brain. But so, you know, I'm loving to hear, you know, that, you know, it's funny because I had reached out to a particular forum online and I asked people, like, you know, what they did to get off the medications. And, you know, I got a lot of backlash, you know, a lot of backlash. And I'm like, you know, I don't let that bother me because I know, like, certain people's realities are not my own. You know, I do believe that you can reverse a lot of the things that, you know, by diet and, you know, a lot of different ways to reverse a lot of things. So I want to ask your guest, you know, a question. I want to know, what did you start doing, and, like, were you on, you said you were on medications, but what was your process in eliminating the medication and getting to the, you know, the plant-based diet, and how did you transition into that? And my second question is just, how would I find out information about this particular hospital that, you know, does the fruits and veggies? That's absolutely amazing. And do you have to self-pay or do they accept insurance?
Okay. Basically, the way that I transitioned is that, as I mentioned earlier, I was scared. I was scared to move. Like, my doctor couldn't tell me, even with stress tests,
that I was okay to move. Like, I was just too scared to move. So I figured that if I just eat better, that would be a lot easier than trying to get up and exercise. And it actually did work because, you know, you're told, you know, that you got to exercise and whatever to lose weight and stuff. But what happened with me during that time is that I was eating so very healthy that the weight was just dropping off by itself. I lost 25 pounds in a matter of 2.5 months. So that's pretty much how I started. And I eased into things. Because I grew up not liking vegetables. I hated vegetables with a passion. And so the only thing that I ate growing up was cucumbers. I hated everything else. So when I started, especially with stuff like mushrooms that have a different kind of a texture, a lot of people don't like mushrooms because of that. I would chop them up into really, really, really small pieces and add them into whatever meat dish I was having. So say I was having something like spaghetti with meat sauce. I would actually chop the mushrooms up small and put them in there. And then I got to the point where I just was too tired of chopping them up. So I just said, you know what, I'm just going to eat them the way they are. And it wound up being okay. Same thing with something like cauliflower. Like with the cauliflower, I take the florets and I would blend them in my food processor, put them in with the meat. At the time, it wasn't even beef. I had cut down to turkey. So I would put them in with the ground turkey and just eat it that way, so that I don't like the taste of cauliflower at all, not even when they're made to be the vegan chicken wings. I don't like it. So I would do it that way in the beginning, and then as time moved on, then okay, I'm okay to eat it. And I got to the point where I just want to eat for my health. I don't want to eat for the taste. I don't want to eat for anything else, because none of that was working in helping me to do what I needed to do. So I learned from a guru online, when I found out about him, his name was Minister Enki. Now he's Dr. Enki. And his quote that I always go by, and anybody anybody know who knows me will hear me say and it's that your body does not understand opinion. And it's so true, because you can eat what you want to eat all you want to, but your body is not made to eat what you want to eat. It's made to eat the foods that God provided for you on this earth. So because of that, I was able to put myself into a position where I'm like, you know what? If my body does not understand opinion, I'm going to make sure that it understands these foods I'm putting in it. And that's the way that I was able to do that. So I went from chopping up a lot of stuff that I didn't like into just being able to grow my own foods. And that's another one. Being able to grow my own foods made me realize that certain things don't taste the way that they do from the supermarket, and that's the reason why I don't like them. The foods that are actually picked before they're supposed to be in season and shipped across the world or the country. Like, I never liked mangoes my whole life. When I went to Jamaica with my family, I'm like, oh, I didn't know mangoes tasted this good straight from the tree, because the sweetness is in it when you pick it. It's not in it before you pick it, before it's ripe. So that made a big difference, and it goes for a whole lot of other foods, even like strawberries. I grow my own strawberries. I grow my own tomatoes. Tomatoes are awesome. I never liked tomatoes either. They were like, when I had it and the sweetness from it, and it was just vibrant in its color, I was like, nothing in the supermarket looks the way that it does when I grow it. So once I started to grow what I was doing, I was able to eat a lot more food. They had more natural flavor to them, and I didn't have to add a whole ton of salt or pepper to make sure that I had the right taste in the food. Right. Well, I want to say congratulations on your journey. My friend lost almost close to 100 pounds just by, you know, their diet still now, and I commend them, because I don't know if I could do that right now, but consists of beans, avocados, vegetables, beans, avocados, vegetables, and fruit.
Oh, G-bombs.
You know, that's pretty much it, you know.
Right, the G-bombs.
Yeah.
That's
hard.
To answer your
it's not easy.
Of the hospital that's in Texas. It's a regular hospital, so I do believe that they do take health insurance. It's not nothing like, you know, you go to somewhere like you look online and you see somebody like Dr. Furman, and he does take insurance, but he's like a highly sought-after doctor, so you're not going to get the care from him like you would want to. But that place is actually a hospital, and I don't have it on the on. I don't have it at the top of my head, because I was looking for places. I was trying to find me a second opinion while I was in the hospital. So I was like looking at all these different places. I'm in the the doctor there has a book that I was reading. I'm going to have to give this information so that it can be posted.
He had
a book that I was reading. And I couldn't make everything because I was in the hospital, but I did start to drink the lemonade, in which was in his book. And I still do to this day make that lemonade because it's
alkaline. That's the one
with
the cayenne pepper and the maple syrup. And,
No.
It's not.
What you're thinking of is the master cleanse. What he had the lemon juice that you can get out of the bottle as long as it's not pasteurized. Well, unfortunately,
right.
with the heart transplant, I can't do that route anymore. But I still do get the lemon juice, and I put it in 32 ounces of water, and I add, well, a gallon of water, I'm sorry. So it's about 8 ounces, I think it's 8 ounces of that lemon juice, with the rest of it being water in a gallon, and add in a quarter, I think it's like a half a cup or a three-quarter cup of agave nectar. That's it.
Oh, okay.
And it actually helped during that as well.
So could you please tell me, first I want to talk about my next show is January 26th at 9:30
mm-hmm.
p.m., I would love for you to call in and support it, you know, especially when I do the show that it speaks about invisible illnesses. And if you could, during your show, I'd like you to speak about your heart transplant, if that's possible. You know, and I thank you for all your information. I love to know how I could keep in touch with you. That way I could get some tips and tricks because, you know, on, you know, just kind of getting, you know, my friend back to even healthier state because, you know, I really appreciate somebody who's been through it to give me some advice on how I can help somebody that I love very, very much, you know, and I thank you for sharing your story. So how can I keep in touch with you?
You can definitely reach out to me on any platform at the Health Conscious Diva, whether it's Facebook,
okay.
Instagram, you can definitely get me there.
And
my website is thehealthconsciousdiva.com.
Okay. I thank you so much. Thank you, Chef, for having such a wonderful show. And,
thank
you know,
you
I wish you
in.
Both the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right. Now, right now we're going to go to a track by international DJ legend Brother O. Brother O, take it away. All right, we're back. Brother O was playing the hits. That's always a classic tune. Natasha, tell us now about what your advocacy company does to help people gain knowledge on how to eat better and, you know, what you're actually doing to teach them and, I guess, get them information that they need to, you know, perfect their lifestyle.
Okay, no problem. Basically, what I'm doing is getting into a space where I can speak with people, especially those who are in the church communities, because they're the main ones who literally mourn people who pass away from a very bad illness but still go down after a service and eat some foods that are not so healthy. So definitely get into those
spaces. We could do a whole show on that. I never understood that concept.
I didn't either.
But go ahead.
So basically, you know, getting into spaces and speaking to people, being able to do outreach. Unfortunately, because of the past few years, the plan that I had in place to go to hospitals and talk to people went a little bit under with COVID. So I wasn't able to put that into perspective because I have to be majorly careful myself with a suppressed immune system. So I do cooking classes where I can talk to people while we're cooking about the importance of the foods in which we're eating, let them know, you know, the benefits of the certain foods in which we're having. Like I said, I have the event that I put on, Hyped in Health, and I didn't get to do it in the last 2 years because of COVID. However, I will be having it again this year, and I bring out community leaders who are in health and wellness, from people who exercise, like Divine Allah from here in Trenton, New Jersey. I bring out people who do yoga.
Oh, yeah.
I bring out people who believe in spiritual healing, that they do it with crystals or that they do it with, you know, being something like an empath and they can actually feel what's going on. Because I know there's a lot of people who might not believe in that, but I do. And, you know, we're all gifted individuals, and some people have gifts that do help to heal people. And not only just
right here,
in the eating, right, not even just in the eating and the exercise space, but there's some people have things that are bothering them, that have been bothering them since childhood, and they need to tackle that because that's what's holding them back and making them eat the wrong way. So, you know, sometimes it goes a lot deeper than just food and exercise. So I have workshops that happen at that event. It's a hands-on experience, so people can work out. People can go into the different workshops, and then I also have vendors that come out. I prefer to have people who have health and wellness products that come out for everyone so that people can see what is available to them at their disposal, especially people who make their own products that help to heal people. So I will definitely be having that again this year. And so, you know, I just push to educate people. And I always say I inspire, educate, and what's the other word? I'm so sorry. I can't think of it off the top of my head. That's so crazy. But I do help to push people into the right direction of knowing what it is that they need to know. And so mm-hmm. I also have group coaching and, like I said, the membership that I have so that people can come in and get weekly meal plans and be able to, you know, have me at their leisure to answer questions and to be educated on not just the food aspect of things, but everything else. You know, the chemicals that people are putting into their bodies, the chemicals that are in the air that we can't get away from. So, you know, there's so much that contributes to our health and wellness that people really and truly mm-hmm. don't understand. And it's not being taught. It's just being said, well, you need to do this and you need to do that. Well, when you look at a lot of our fat people, I don't mean to say it like that, but, you know, people who have fat to them, it's not necessarily fat.
it's sometimes inflammation. It's fluid that's stuck inside of them that they can't get rid of because they don't know how. And the medications sometimes make it worse, not better. So, yeah. You know,
a lot of times
the whole
it makes
thing.
It worse, especially like antibiotics and stuff like that. It causes candida in the body.
Exactly, exactly. And for anybody who's on something like prednisone, the steroid, that's even worse. I had to be on that after the transplant. And, you know,
oh, my goodness.
It swells you. And I didn't even have the food cravings because I was eating very healthy. But I still got the moon face.
So it's so side effects of the medicines.
Exactly, exactly.
Wow.
And that's what a lot of people don't seem to understand either.
Well, I'm sure now you've given them some enlightenment to, you know, search after so they can do their own research and look at, you know, just I think everybody should know and be encouraged to if they ever encounter a doctor or a specialist that, you know, says that you have to take this, you have to take that, don't be afraid to challenge these health professionals and say, all right, before I take this, I need you to give me an MSDS or material safety and data sheet that says exactly what is in this substance and what the side effects are. You have a right to be educated to know what's in these substances before, you know, because everybody takes the doctor's word as being the gospel. You say, oh, well, the doctor said I got 10, but you have to understand the concept that they are practicing medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they're practicing on you because what has happened prior to them giving you a prescription or recommending something, they've just gotten a sales rep that came in their office from a pharmaceutical company and says, hey, if you can sell off these 10 samples, you know, we'll get this coming into, and, you know, the more prescriptions you write on this, we'll give you a kickback from the company. So he's trying to write
Absolutely.
As much as he can. He don't know whether it works or not, or, you know, whether it's going to do any good or harm. It's all a sales pitch. Yeah, it's all a sales pitch.
Like I said,
he's practicing.
In 2015, I had gotten sick. And that was the first time I had ever been told that I would ever need to have a heart transplant. Now, this is before I reversed anything. And my congestive heart failure came in the doctor. He came into the room, and he said to me that I would have to have the heart transplant. And I'm like, why? And he told me what he thought. And I said, well, how about if I try to make myself better? He was like, well, you're not going to be able to do that. And I'm like, I believe that I can, and I'm going to show you that I will. So he wasn't too happy with me. So when I asked him, you know, to go over the supplements that I had and make sure that they would not interfere with my medication, he told me, without even looking at anything, all he saw was that this is not approved by the FDA. Most of your vitamins are not. So
of course.
He was like, well, I can't look at this. So I had to tell him, I said, well, off the record, I need you to speak to me because you're not going to tell me what, you know, you can't tell me. And then something happened because of the fact that it intervened with one of my medications. So we had a little bit of talk. And I said, well, I'll just do this my own way. And that's when I decided that I was going to start back walking and I was going to eat better. And that happened in March. So by September of that year, I was able to get my I had a PICC line that I had for all of those months. I was able to come up off of that PICC line because I was on a medication called Milrinone, and that's supposed to help people who have a very low heart, functioning heart, and it's like a segue into a heart transplant, right? It's a segue into a heart transplant, and most times people don't come off of it, and I was able to come off of it, and that was right before the time
amazing.
That I reversed the heart condition.
Okay.
So, that being said, I always tell people, you know, don't do it the way that I did it because something just might be that wrong. But at the same token, get a second opinion or go somewhere else and find out, you know, what else is it that you can do? Because, you know, just listening to one person, that's just one doctor, and it's
one doctor.
Ideology.
Right. It's by ideas. It's not necessarily by the facts and the truth of what can happen, because the truth of the matter is that we are all bio individuals. So we are not the same when it comes to a treatment. You can't do a, you know, one size fits all, because we're not the same. So you definitely want to make sure that you get that second opinion. You want to make sure that you go into more than one person to find it out, because, you know, you just can't be stuck because you're listening to what a doctor is saying. It's not that they're paying you, you're paying them. So, you know, go and find out from other people what it is that you can possibly do.
Yes. Perfect. Well, that's I couldn't have said any better myself. We got International Internet Radio Hall of Famer, broadcasting lifetime achiever, Jerry Petito on the line. Go ahead and say hi, Jerry.
Hi, babes.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good.
Good. I want to say hello to your beautiful guest. How are you, sweetheart?
Oh, hi. Thank you. I'm good.
Good. So this is really interesting. I also have a certification from IIN.
Nice.
Okay. And Dr. Joel Furman is a friend of mine for like 30 years. He's the one who actually got me started on this.
Wow. I wanted him to take care of me, but I couldn't get an appointment with him.
Well, he doesn't see patients anymore, but I'll tell you what that beautiful man did. My granddaughter is 7, and 2 years ago, I had my daughter call him. They were in the car with her because a doctor wanted to give her a nebulizer, and I said, absolutely not. I called Furman at his house. He said, tell your brother and your daughter to get her here now. I'll go in to see her. He wouldn't even take money from them. So I love this man, what he's done. I've even interviewed him. But, you know, I wanted to share a couple things. Food for thought, okay? So Chef knows everything about me. I've been vegan for 30 years, a little over 30 years now. I changed my life 32 years ago. I'm going to be 62. I am also a vegan chef. I'm a certified, you know, health coach, nutritional health coach, and I also have certifications in fasting. I cured myself of colon and breast cancer almost 30 years ago with fasting. I brought a home colonic system in, and I did a two-month water fast, nothing but water. Saved my life. I was under 100 pounds. I was very sick. And so food for thought here. A few things I wanted to share with you. Everything you said, I agree with 100%. Except for one little tiny thing, and it's not a big deal, that you had to eat meat for more protein when you were sick. Because once meat is cooked, the protein pretty much is gone anyway, and all the protein is in plants. And you know, I'm not telling you anything you really don't know. I also do a smoothie every single day. And I eat one avocado every single day with real olive oil and real sea salt on it, because the sea salt actually cures high blood pressure, not table salt. Okay, that's what destroyed us.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's
table salt.
Oh, my goodness. But sea salt is something we need. And,
and you don't need it much when you use it.
And real olive oil and real, you know, so one, and it's for the brain, avocados, you know, the best fat.
Right.
Anyway, and everything I eat most of my life was all homegrown, my dad's garden, and organic, of course. My daughter and I got into a product now. My daughter sells it called Pure Haven. So, and I'm not telling you that to give my daughter orders. You could do it on your own or you could get in touch with me. Pure Haven now, we drove 5.5 hours away years ago to go into their labs, because everything I've used in my body and on my body for the last 30 years has been organic. They started adding things, and we found out about it, and then we found this product, 100% safe, everything in it. Even my mattress is organic, the paint on my walls. I mean, I am extreme. So I'm listening to you, and I'm like, God bless you, because what you've done is incredible. And you know what? God is using you now, sweetie, to help other people. And I just love you.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Jerry, always a pleasure to have you. Thank you for calling in.
I love you. I'll be seeing
you
soon, boy.
Please do.
All
right. Caller 4, please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Yes. My tribal name is Bunny Barkatoon, and my pen and stage name is Master Card Man Taru. How you doing tonight, sir?
Brother Hooney Bach, what's going on, my man?
Man, I'm really enjoying your show, the chemistry, both of y'all together. I'm telling you, I could just, you know.
Well, hold on, Hooney. Yeah. You sound muffled there. We can hardly hear you.
Okay, can y'all hear me better?
That's a lot better.
Okay, sorry about that. All right, let me start over right quick. My tribal name is Hooney Bach Atum. My pen and stage name is Master Todd Magic Man Haru. And what I was saying is I'm really enjoying tonight's show, the chemistry y'all have together. This is a well-needed subject. And I'm very confident that, you know, which is already our turn and time to shine anyway. And, you know, me being who and what I am, I know that everything has its time and place, and definitely time and place for us to take full advantage of our life and bring it back into our hands and take it out of the hands of a people that never cared about us. So this is definitely a step in the right direction, because the body is definitely the real temple. And what I find amazing is, you know, most of us have been taught or told to place greater value on external things, houses, cars, et cetera, even in places of worship more so than the real temple, the only real temple, which is the physical body. So thank you so much for this well-needed information. Look, I also got some good news for you, Chef. Can you hear me?
I'm ready.
I want to say,
what you got?
I love it. I always love it, man. You know, when one of us definitely, you know, get those numbers up and stuff like that to get a championship. So congratulations, Master Vegan Chef Yosef, on your 6th WBNN all-time connection record with the historic Darling Lawrence Championship, honoring our late Hall of Famer. I also want to say thank you so much to your special honored guest for being here. I definitely would like to know more and hear more about you. I am the host of We Will Aware You. I have an advancement that's coming up. Should be January the 12th, and I'll be posing a question as well as a statement speaking about real players in the game of life. So here's where the question comes in at. Which part or position do you play? With my special honored guest, Matthew Graham, and that'll be at 9:30 on this great WBNN station. Thank you.
Brother Hooney, always a pleasure. Thank you, man, for calling in. Appreciate you. Appreciate your support. Okay. Natasha, tell me a little bit more about your Caribbean influence with some of the dishes. I know you said earlier that it was kind of hard because of how rich Caribbean food is, but I know that Caribbean food is laden with a lot of vegetables and fruits and, you know, plant-based. Like, you could really go in if you really want to. So tell me a little bit about your influence with that.
Okay. So I remember growing up and, you know, back then it wasn't a lot of Caribbean foods that was readily available when we were here. Callaloo and plantains were available, and plantain is my favorite. When my grandmother used to make it, I would stand at the stove, and me and my cousin would wait for her to finish a batch, and we'd just be all over it. And I never realized that that was something that would have been, you know, a vegetation kind of food. It just tasted good to me. And so as I got older, I got more into my heritage and I got more into the foods and everything like that. Got different kind of cookbooks and all kinds of stuff. I even haven't like, you know, Ito cookbooks and Rastafarian cookbooks. But I think the time that I made travels there when I in 2006, I really, really realized just how good the vegetation could be, from having mangoes to having, you know, the green oranges off of the tree, to having, you know, the same food that I was used to eating, which was ackee and saltfish. You know, nowadays I don't use saltfish, but I, you know, cook it up with the onions and the green red peppers and, you know, season it real nicely. And if I really
got to talk about that, sis, because I love using ackee and I don't really know how to cook it the right way. And without, you
There's
know,
no real
of course, without
right
the saltfish or whatever.
it's
a special, y'all got a special way, the Caribbean's got a special touch on that. When they cook their ackee, it's done right.
Yeah.
I need some tips on that.
That's what it is. It's the Scotch bonnet peppers. So,
I like my heat.
So then, like I said earlier, when I went to Jamaica with my sister in 2010, we realized that we were eating more vegetation. And every time I go, I'm like, most people when they go to Jamaica on vacation, they're gaining weight because they're eating everything in sight. I know how to maneuver around the food.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I eat the healthier items. I eat the, you know, the vegetables, and I eat, you know, all of the different fruits that I can find, because I make that decision very intentionally to make sure that I'm getting the right foods for my body. So whenever I go, I was eating the right things. And we realized at that point in time when we lost weight on vacation, this is the way that we need to be eating. So I'll bring in, you know, even some of the starch foods that maybe, say, somebody who follows Dr. Sabi, people won't eat, but I'll eat them. I'll eat the yams. I'll eat the cassava. I'll eat, you know, the different things that we make, like dumplings and all kinds of stuff, right?
Well,
so,
I will venture to say that eating it over there is probably a total difference from eating it here, because everything over here is either manufactured or it's been, you know, GMO or something. It's stuff that grows over there is natural,
exactly.
So you're eating it in its pure state.
Exactly. And then I did go into growing my own callaloo, which I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse, because it grows like wildflower. And like literally growing everywhere. So, and when the seeds start to come out, you know, they come out for next year, everything starts to grow up again next year. But it's a good thing, because, you know, they always tell you that there's a shortage in food. There's no food shortage if you're growing food and you have seeds.
It's the shortage of food manufacturing.
Exactly. So, you know, I also had the pleasure of going to my aunt and uncle's house. They live in Ochi in Jamaica, and they have everything that they grow, from aloe to pineapples to soursop to moringa.
Wow.
To moringa.
Soursop too?
And sweet sop and noni.
Wow.
And they have it all in their backyard. And so whenever I go, I always, you know, take video and just let people see that, you know, there's places that grow this in their own backyards. This is their house. This is
not, right.
Like some, you know, we're taught that those foods are superfoods, but really and truly, they're just something that's every day, and I never realized it for people in my own family, you know, because I'm raised here.
I don't know all of that.
Huh?
I need to move to the Caribbean, because all that stuff is like at your disposal. And that's what makes the richness of the soil, richness of the land, you know.
Exactly. And then those same trees and plants actually hold the earth together.
So it's
actually, you know, the whole ecosystem kind of a thing.
That's really something. Now, just in everything that you've done to change and, you know, transition with your way of eating, how do you feel now? Like, you know, you had your transplant. Could you go back to the standard American diet and way of eating if you wanted to?
No. Because I'm too scared of what would happen. Too scared of what would happen. And so, you know, when you've watched like tons and tons of documentaries and you're even in an upcoming documentary, it's like, there's no way, no way in the world. That feeling is, I always tell people, because everybody's like, well, why do I need to do that? I'm going to die one day anyway. And I'm like, you're going to die one
statement.
Day. But it's not going to be like you got hit by a car and instantly died. It's going to be more like pain.
Suffering death.
And suffering, and you're going to be tired of feeling sick. You're going to be tired of feeling tired. You're going to be tired of not being able to have the energy to do what you want to do. You're going to be mad because of everything that's happening that you can't participate in. It's not the same kind of a thing. It doesn't take days or, you know, minutes for that to happen. That's years. For some people you've watched be ill, they've suffered for more than two decades. So it's like, why would you want to be in that position? Why do you want to have yourself in a place where, you know, you're putting yourself into basically a death trap that is going to be harder to come out of once you get down there? Because one thing I do know is that it's easier to prevent than it is to reverse. And I told you it took me 16 years to figure it out before I even got to that
point.
So, you know, it's definitely something that I really, really wouldn't want to slide all the way back into like that again. No, you know, you don't realize it when you were younger, growing up and having McDonald's. When I started having McDonald's, we had it once, you know, maybe on a Friday. Everything else was cooked. Nowadays, it's like an everyday thing for people to go out
thing.
To eat. Yeah, and it's like, y'all need to start cooking at home. That convenience is not really a convenience when you figure out how long you got to be in the hospital.
Pay a price for
I mean, I'll Right. I was in the hospital for 2.5 months. Some people are in there a lot longer. And that's a hard thing to fathom because of the fact that, you know, I was really mad because I couldn't move. I actually had a pump into my heart, a balloon pump that was pumping through my groin. So I wasn't allowed to move for a good almost 3 weeks. Right, so I had no choice but to stay still. And I barely even had the energy to hold something as simple as a cell phone in my hand. Like, it felt like a 10-pound weight, right? So nobody should want to feel that. Nobody should want to be in that kind of a position. And while I know that I did that not because of something that I did, but because people weren't listening to me, you have people who are doing what they want to do and can very well be in that same position.
That's true.
So,
it's very true.
You know, you really and truly don't want to be there. And then you have people that then with that diagnosis, they'll go through depression. They'll go through a whole bunch of stuff that really and truly doesn't have to happen if you start by, you know, making that transition into eating more healthy or having a plant-based diet where you can actually have, you know, the majority of the nutrients that you need. And, you know, plant-based doesn't necessarily mean you cook everything because the things that you don't cook are the more beneficial to you.
Yes. Well, you're getting all the nutrients out of it.
Exactly.
All right. We got another caller, caller number 5. State your name and where you're calling from, please.
Yo, this is Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia. We, unfortunately, the hood rats, they grow old, you know what I'm saying, and become grandmothers who can't cook. You know what I'm saying? They cook all the nutrients out of the vegetables, you know what I mean? Your string beans will be brown by the time you get it on your plate. What's going on, Chef?
What's going on, man? You know you're cooking the hell out of stuff and make it turn brown. Cook all the life out of it.
Yes. You know what I mean? But, yo, I just wanted to say something because I'm an individual who come from, you know what I'm saying, poor diets, you know what I mean, I say. You know what I mean? I'm in, you know, I come from a culinary family, you know what I'm saying, you know, growing up, you know what I'm saying, South Philly, all, you know, Germantown, and all these different areas where the food is delicious. You know what I mean? Unfortunately, we develop bad diets, you know what I mean? A lot of smoked meats, a lot of different processed things or whatever, you know what I mean? You get you start doing getting sauces, cheese sauces and all types of different reductions and stuff like that. That's like, you know what I mean? It causes ailments, you know what I mean? A lot of sodium, a lot of sugars and a lot of different things like that. But I just wanted to say this. I was a person that came to, you know, some health issues where I became maybe almost 100 pounds overweight, you know what I'm saying? I started off, you know, I've been an athlete all my life. And, you know, I got to an age where, you know, when you work out, you know, you like to have muscles and stuff like that. You get at an age where you kind of start going, building too much muscle mass, you know what I mean, where you're starching up, you're doing all these different things. And then all of a sudden you don't have a lot of time to work out anymore, and then you lose it. And then before you know it, you're like Norm Peterson off chairs, or like, you know, Peter Griffin off the Family Guy or somebody, you know what I'm saying? You know, you went from Hulk Hogan to Peter Griffin, you know what I'm saying? So what happens is this is too much weight, and then you realize your diet is bad, where you gotta change it up. So in the mix of changing it up, you discover that, you know, skipping some of those meals where you feel like, you know what I mean, you don't want to eat this, you don't want to eat that, and you start eating berries, you start eating more vegetables, and you start eating more raw foods and fruits, stuff like that, where weaning off of these meats and off these different things, you realize that your bowel movements and things are different. You know what I mean? You're moving different. You're feeling different. You know what I'm saying? Your stomach ain't really – you realize your digestive system is a little bit different. You know what I mean? So I would recommend a lot of people, you know what I'm saying, to look into – you know, I wouldn't necessarily say, you know, get into it spiritually or whatever. Whatever steps you need to take. But I think that it's a good diet good diet plan for people, you know what I'm saying, who want to go ahead and lose some weight. You get your cholesterol down and get your health back, you know what I'm saying? You know, that's just what I wanted to share real quick, you know what I mean? I'm Clever One half of the Booth Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where everybody from when they was 12 years old, you know what I'm saying, they was skinny with big ears and skinny necks. They get 30, now they 249 pounds with three necks. Check your satellite.
One and only Clever One. Not another one like him. All right. Let me get your final thoughts, Natasha. Why don't you share with the people your contact information where they can get in touch with you and maybe even support your advocacy and your foundation. I'd like to see some people get on that.
Okay. As stated earlier, all of my social media is the Health Conscious Diva. You can catch me on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube. My website is thehealthconsciousdiva.com. You can definitely go on to, say, Facebook and join my group. My group is actually called Let's Go Plant-Based, and I drop a lot of different gems in there, recipes, and, you know, just images of things that I'm making. And also, you know, if you want to join in to the cooking classes, I was actually restarting those this coming Sunday. I'm going to do the first one just live. It's not going to be a fee to it, but every other one will have a fee, and people can join in either virtually.
You on your Facebook live? Me.
Facebook, yes.
Okay, good. Yeah, tag me on that. I want to check that out.
Okay, no problem. And if they are local, I am setting up a partnership with a friend of mine where I will be in her establishment in Burlington, New Jersey, doing on-location classes. So that is coming up. So if you just follow me on Facebook, if you go onto my website, you can probably sign up for my newsletter, and you can stay in contact with everything it is that I am actually doing.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Give the last piece of advice or just a short testimonial just for anyone that may be struggling to, you know, transition to eating healthy. just a piece of advice that you would give them with some word of encouragement so they can, you know, follow through and know they can do it.
Sure thing. We live in an age where a lot of people are actually being ridiculed for the way in which they do things. You'll be on a group which is for vegans, and, you know, you might put up a dish on the page and it has a little bit of meat because you're still transitioning, and they will ridicule the mess out of you. My advice to people is to start out slowly. Don't go by what anybody else has to say to you, because this is your journey, not theirs. And the way that you're going to make it happen for yourself is to take the time, just like you do with a baby, when you're feeding them foods and introducing them to things, see what it is that you can have and see what it is that you can't have, because we have a lot of people, too, who have sensitivities to different foods. So you don't want it to be that, you know, you're jumping in and trying out every single thing and then you have a reaction. You won't know what is causing your reaction. So take your time, go into it slowly, and, you know, the foods that you know that you already like, you can indulge in those. The foods that you don't know, you know, how you'll react to them, take your time with those. And just make sure that you are making sure that the food that you eat is, as said earlier, organic. Make sure that it is, you know, grown fair trade. Also, you want to make sure that with the food that you have a nice variety of raw foods versus cooked foods. I always say make sure that half of your plate is vegetables. You've got a quarter of it being protein and the rest being whatever kind of a starch. But at the same token, make sure that half of those vegetables are raw, so that you are actually bringing in the nutrients from foods before you cook them, and those nutrients go into whatever it is you're cooking it in, be it water or whatever. The best way to cook your food is actually to steam it because it retains a lot of the nutrients. So basically, you know, the main part is just to follow your journey, see how it works for you, and stay the path. Don't veer off because you messed up. Get back on track and keep on going. The same thing to do with exercising to go along with your diet. You want to make sure that, you know, you're keeping up on all aspects. Don't be eating healthy and just sitting down around, because then you're going to have, you know, like very loose skin. So you want to make sure that everything goes in balance. You want to make sure that everything is all together and, you know, just do what you can to make yourself healthier, but don't speed it up. Just go along the track the way that it should be. Just like a lot of people right now going to the gym because it's New Year's, right?
Yep.
You want to make sure that they're not
there. They ain't going to be there.
Exactly. They ain't going to be there tomorrow because they worked so hard today that their muscles hurt too bad, right? So you want to make sure that, you know, everybody is just doing it on their own accord. If you feel like you can do it cold turkey, you can give it a try. If it works, it works. But for the most people that do that, they fall off the wagon real fast. So you just want to take your time.
Always. That's very good thoughts. And now, thank you so much for coming on the show, Natasha. We're going to have our final thoughts from Brother O and good one to Ngozi time.
Oh, look at you, fella. Take it from your Uncle Boo. Ain't no shame begging in the rain. Tell her how you really feel.
Oh, All right. Wow. What a wonderful show tonight by Chef Yosef and his guest, Natasha Tennant. This was great. And I am just so thrilled about your health journey, Tasha. And that is a definite testament and testimony for people to realize that if they have a heart problem, don't care what it is, it can be reversed. And that's something I tell people all the time. I am not only the commissioner here at WBNN and also a host here. I'm also a naturopathic doctor and a certified natural health professional and holistic health practitioner. And I often tell people all the time that no matter what their health condition, no matter what ailment they have, from AIDS to zits, it all can be reversed. It can be cured. But the medical doctors, of course, will tell us all the time that disease is incurable, that, you know, cancer is incurable. Basically, they're still doing research and, you know, having all of these foundations, making all this money doing cancer research, but yet cancer can be cured. But if they tell you that, all of these foundations will lose trillions of dollars that are made every year from people donating to different cancer foundations and Alzheimer's research and every type of medical issue. They have a research going on, and that's money being funneled to them from the government and other sources and from people donating, thinking that they're searching for a cure for these diseases, and they are not. And I often talk about big bad pharma who just, they're out there killing people and, you know, causing disease. And, you know, it's such a sad shame. But yet, man depends on the medical doctors and think that the medical doctors have their best interests at heart. That they think that they're really concerned about their health, and they're not. They're concerned about you being sick so they can continue to make money off of you. So people, please wake up. And hearing Natasha's story should help you wake up a little bit more, because she took a natural approach and so can you. And it's imperative, if you want to be healthy, get off those meds. And I've been helping people get off the meds since the 80s, since 1984. And it works. Get off the meds. The meds are not going to cure you. They're not going to heal you. They're going to slowly kill you. So get off of the medications, please, and change your eating habits. And I love Jerry's testimony. And, you know, and Jerry says she's been a vegan for, I think, 30 years. And that is so awesome. And this year that we're embarking on in September will be my 46th year as a vegan. For 46 years, since the age of 14, I was vegan, and I would not go back for anything in the world. I've never had meat since then, and I think if I accidentally ate some or something, it would probably kill me because it would be so toxic to my body. But people, eat healthy fruits and vegetables. Raw vegetables are best, because they help to kill off those bacteria and toxins in your body, and the cruciferous vegetables helps with cancer and all kinds of stuff. So if you can eat them raw, eat them raw, because that is the best way with the most nutrients, and the healing properties are in the raw veggies, so definitely in the raw fruits. And I love Natasha, where she talked about Jamaica. Jamaica's awesome. You have everything growing there. You go to a village, you have all the different fruit trees, and yes, that sour sauce is so good. And all the different fruits that they have over there are delicious, and it's healthy. So you don't have to eat the meat, okay? And if, even when you go to the Bahamas, all those vegetables, the fruits are there. The fruit trees are there, coconut, all kinds of fruit right there. You don't have to eat the meat. You don't have to eat any of that stuff, okay? That's unhealthy for you. So please take charge of your health, people. Take charge of your health. Wow. Anyway, it was a wonderful show, and Chef, I want to thank you and congratulate you on your all-time connection record. And congratulations to WBNN, because guess what? This marks the fourth night of championships this week. What a way to start off the new year 2023. We're doing the thing, y'all, and keep it up, WBNN host. I'm so very proud of you for supporting your fellow host and all of that good stuff. And thank you, Brother O, for the wonderful music tonight as well. WBNN has advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We're on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter at Ngozi_time and Oladele Malewe Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments and suggestions for our wonderful programming tonight, oladele.ngozi@my.com. For our mother's and father's favorite producer, Oladele Malewe Ngozi, I am WBNN Commissioner Dr. Chinchilla J, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis. Now stay tuned for tomorrow night where we have the Jesus Show with International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting nominee Christine Powell. That's 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tomorrow right here on WBNN. Or you can tune in at www.blogtalkradio.com. Now back to Master Vegan Chef Yosef.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Chinchilla. You always bring things so eloquently in your expose. So thank you for commenting and talking about the show and everything that we can do to improve upon our health. And y'all need this listening. Y'all need to get it, Dr. Chinchilla, because she's an herbalist. And she's got the formulas and all that kind of stuff. She can get you right. So I'm going to have her on my show again so we can talk about some of those herbal formulas that can get you healed. So definitely am so excited and had a wonderful time talking to my guest, Natasha Pennant. And I'm really excited for her even further in her education. So, Natasha, big ups to you for going back for your bachelor's and going for your registered dietitian certification. I'm really happy for you. So I know you're going to do very well with that because your heart is in it. And so I just wanted to say I wish you best with all your endeavors on that. And thank you again for coming on the show, sharing your testimony, sharing your journey. And anything I can do to help further that cause, I will be here to do that for you. So just last words, thank you all for listening. And tune in next time. We will continue our fight and talk about eating on a spiritual level with Chef Yosef, here to give you all the tips and knowledge that I can and bring people who have more knowledge than me to share it with you so you can get on your health journey. This is a new year, people. Let's do it. Let's just not make New Year's resolutions. Let's commit to being healthier and commit to taking better care of our bodies, our temples. All right? So with all that in mind, I'm going to say good night.